It's time once again for another edition of Getting to Know You. For this month, we are honored to have in the spotlight Angie Capozzi from Florida. Here is our host for this evening, Susie B.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight, my guest is Angie from Sarasota. And Angie, if you would, please give us your last name.
My last name is Capozzi. They used to call me Nosy Capozzi.
Okay, thank you for being my guest tonight. We're going to go down through these questions. Where were you born?
I was born in a small farm town in Italy called Pietrelcina. And if any of you are Catholic or care to read about Padre Pio, I was born in the same town he was.
Is that where you grew up?
Until I was almost three. And then we came to the land of the free and land of opportunity. We came to the beautiful United States of America, and I celebrated my third birthday 1 week after we got here.
Okay, where in America did you all move?
Buffalo, New York.
Okay, New Yorker. Do you have brothers and sisters? And if so, where do you fall out in the lineup?
I've been lucky to have two brothers, one on either side's bookshelves. So I had to be an older sister and I had to be a younger sister. Not always the easiest position.
Did you rule the roost as the only girl?
No. Although I was the apple of my daddy's eye. But no, my younger brother would beat me. And my older brother would antagonize my younger brother to beat me. But then my older brother did stick up for me.
What was the cause of your, or is the cause of your vision loss, and at what age did the loss occur?
I was fortunate enough to be born an albino, so I've lived with albinism since birth and legally blind because of it. Gives me pretty hair, people tell me.
I understand that normally people who are albino have 20 over 200 vision, and are for the most part able to hold that their entire life. Has that been your case so far?
So far, but I think we still have the traits as we age tonight, like the lights at nighttime, and our night vision gets worse as we get older, but I think it happens with all most older seniors.
Right. I guess the point is that normally, people who are albino do not go completely blind.
Correct.
Okay, what, if any, treatment did you have, such as surgery, etc., to improve your vision?
The answer is no. I was offered once, but they couldn't guarantee it would be better, but I had the opportunity that it could be worse, so I chose to leave it as is.
Did you at any point, I know there are some people who have been able to get contacts and these binocular type glasses and take driver's ed and get driver's license, special driver's license, where you're able to do that?
I went through the process. I got the binocular. It was all set and went to get behind the wheel of a car and look for the signs. And I said, I don't feel comfortable, so I can't do this. So I never tried.
When it came time to go to school, did you go to public school? And if so, did you get the accommodations needed to keep up with your schoolwork, such as large print or technical devices?
Nobody knew I was visually impaired from kindergarten to third grade. We never heard about a problem. I just thought everybody sees that way. So come third grade, they said I could no longer be in public school. I had to go to sight-saving schools. So I went to sight-saving school for 2 years. Oh, my God, the size of those books, we got big muscles. The desks used to come up. But other than having to ride the bus for 2 hours each way, I didn't find it all that impressive. And then I went back to public school for sixth grade.
Okay, was that sixth grade all the way through in public school?
Yes, I went from 6th grade to 12th grade, but I kind of skipped or accelerated because I graduated when I was 16 because my junior year I took senior classes, so I had enough credits to graduate. So I graduated a year early, which was awesome because kids can be cruel. I think John Harris was talking about that the other day, about how cruel your peers can be.
Yes, and at all ages. All right. In public school, when you came back in 6th grade, did you get involved in any activities outside the regular classroom, meaning such things as sports, music, industrial arts, crafts, anything?
When I went back to 6th grade to public school, I had an itinerant teacher that would come, I think it was once or twice a week, and she would help with dittos. Back then we had dittos. But then after school, we did skiing in the wintertime, and we did ice skating, we did roller skating, and we did all that. But nothing like to join a team, no, and I didn't play any musical instruments. I was no good at that either. So my education didn't stop at school. When I came home, Mom taught me how to can and clean, and, you know, because she needed the help in a new country, and she just needed her daughter to help. So that was my education. That's where I learned to cook and clean and can and all that fun stuff. So when I got home from school, school wasn't really done.
Well, actually, that's even better. Now, when you went after 6th grade, when did you have to change schools again in terms of here, elementary school, and then you go to middle school and you go to high school, which is on different campuses? Was that the case where you went to school? And I have a reason for asking that.
Yes, from kindergarten to third, I walked to the neighborhood school. And then, as I said, from fourth and fifth, I went to sight-saving school at the bus. And then I came back to neighborhood school, and I walked for sixth and seventh and eighth. And then we were supposed to go to the high school, but then they changed that year. So then ninth grade was where I was still at. Then in ninth grade, went over to the high school, and I spent 9, 10, and 11 at senior high in a regular school, Riverside High School. Actually, Sarah Smile went to the same school.
Oh, how nice. Changing schools, and these were new environments, was that challenging, getting reacquainted with new environments? Or was your amount of vision, was that not a problem?
I didn't find the vision to be a problem outside of looking for room numbers on the outside of the doors. Up on top, I couldn't see them. I would follow a friend, not that I had a lot of friends, itinerant teacher. So once I learned the campus, but then I always walked to school up until ninth grade, and then for 10th grade, we had to take the city bus, and that was fun.
In school, in high school, can you think of any awards you may have received for participating in competitions or for good grades or anything?
I was on merit roll. I got a certificate. Got a certificate for completing typing, and I forget how long. I got an award for perfect attendance. I think that's about it.
Now, I knew of a kid once who got perfect attendance because he was never out sick any. But he was sick, and his mama sent him to school because she wanted him to get perfect attendance. But in the process, he gave all the stuff to the other kids, so of course they missed school. Were you one of those kids?
No, I didn't get sick a lot as a kid. I can only remember getting sick once with chicken pox. I came home and showed my mama my belly, and she asked the neighbor, who also had kids, she's like, "Ah, it's the chicken pox. Go get in your room."
Before graduating, did you have any idea of what you thought you wanted to do afterwards?
Oh, yeah. I was going to be a teacher. Little kids, daycare center. And I have my associate's degree in early child education. And I got hired at a daycare. And after my first week, a situation happened. And The head teacher said I had to deal with it with the parent, and I said, I don't think so. So that was the last day of my teaching, and then after that, I went to Eastern Michigan University, and I'm one course away from my bachelor's in special ed for the visually impaired. Guess which class I failed was Braille. I'm not a Braille reader, but I actually have taught Braille since. And then from there, thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I got to go and take another class. I have a transfer. Now it's like, who's going to pay me to be an itinerant teacher to go from school to school? Because back then, you know, like today, all the kids are scattered. And by the time you pay for, we didn't have Ubers back then. It's like, how am I going to get, so that was like, okay, that was another 2 years. So then I got it, knowledge about the BEP, the Business Enterprise Program, and I went to training for that, got done with my training, and ended up in a facility.
Okay, I think you have, what, 2 sons?
I do, 2 sons. After I was told I couldn't have any, I proved them wrong. Because you can't tell me I can't. But anyways, yes, Tim is 32, and Jerry is 30. No, Tim's 31. He's going to be 32 in January. And Jerry, forget it, you know what I mean.
Okay, so when you were going to, I guess you had your children after your stint at daycare teacher, right?
Yes, I ended up in a cafeteria. I was in the cafeteria for, I think it was 3 years. Then I met my husband. We decided we're going to have kids. We moved back, and we actually had the kids. But yeah, I had a facility for 3, maybe 4 years, and then I got pregnant.
Did you have any specialties or anything that sewed particularly well in your cafeteria?
During Lent, my mac and cheese and my tuna noodle casserole would sell out every Friday. I had a cafeteria in the state office building in Syracuse, New York.
Okay, after, so did you do any work after the cafeteria?
Yes, we had, once we moved to Buffalo, we got a few more stands. Mike was also in the BEP. We got the Corps of Engineers, and him and I worked together there. And then they were closing. We went and worked at ECMC for another licensed operator named Murray Diamond. And that's when I got pregnant. I was working for Murray because I went on strike because I wanted a raise. Susie, you're bringing back memories. Sorry. Get carried away.
Can you, let's back up just a little bit. Can you think of any major hurdle, or you felt like was a major hurdle, before age 25?
Yeah, when my first son was born. When they first told me I wouldn't have any, and that was on my grandmother's birthday, they told me that. The following year, it was my grandma's birthday, I went into labor. I was only 7 months pregnant, so he was born preemie. They told me he wouldn't live through the night. As I was dealing with that, my grandma ended up passing. So in my head, my grandma had 17 kids. So Timmy, the kid I wasn't supposed to have and wasn't supposed to live through the night, is really her 18th because I feel they switched places.
Somehow I knew you were going to have that kind of slant on it. It was mine. Were there ever times when you tried to hide your vision loss?
Every day, especially in the dating world, in the dating scene, yes. Most of the time, no, but it's a nuisance.
Well, for the most part, though, you probably had enough vision that you didn't need to fake it. Here's another can you think of. Can you think of an instant where you found yourself in an unfamiliar place or situation, but you had to work through it?
Every day. But I guess when I moved here to Florida, my first trip to downtown by myself before I got O&M, I was so lost, and I had my sunglasses on, and I had my cane, and I stopped and asked for directions. And the gentleman stood up and put his arm around me and started pointing. I was like, excuse me.
All right, let's talk about travel. You've done a lot of travel. Well, you did a lot of traveling this year, but you have done some major traveling. Tell us a little bit about some of the most enjoyable ones?
My favorite way to go on vacation without driving is to take a cruise. So we did quite a few cruises. We did Alaska, we did Hawaii, we did the Caribbean, Jamaica, Barbados, Belize. I've been back and forth to Italy more times than I can count. My favorite trip was when I turned 50. We took a cruise, they were repositioning cruises. So we went from Buffalo to Fort Lauderdale. We got on a ship going to Rome. It took 7 days. We didn't have to get off. We didn't have to do nothing. It was awesome. And then we got to Rome, met my cousins, and went to Tuscany, and then we went to my hometown, and we enjoyed 6 beautiful weeks in Italy. And then we got on a plane and flew to England and got on a ship there that went to New York. That was my most memorable trip.
That sounds like a dream world to me. Hobbies. Tell us about some of your hobbies. We saw one of them for those of us who went to Springfield earlier this fall.
Refresh my memory from what you're referring to in Missouri.
You were crocheting all the time.
Okay. Yes, that's one of my hobbies. I like it. I do it for profit. No, that's not true. I sell a lot of my things. I have everything from dishcloths to loofah sets to pot holders to hats to, I mean, you name it, and I've crocheted it. I like to go and sit by the water and crochet. Actually, that'd be my very favorite thing to do. And have a book on, let's see, what are my other favorite hobbies? Just go and dig in the sand.
Okay, at any time, another, you mentioned skiing. Did you ever play goalball? I know a lot of people have played goalball. Or dancing, like Bernie.
I've never played goalball. I have skied. My other hobby, or I guess I like to do, is dance. I'm not good at it, but I like to fake it. I like music, but being tone deaf, don't ask me the words. Don't ask me the tunes and the names of songs and ours, because I know none of that. I just know what I like.
Can you think of anything that you would like to add that we haven't talked about?
I'm going to address it because I think it's the elephant in the room. I was married 32 years, had 2 kids, and now I'm single. And I've joined the dating world, and oh, my God, I can tell you stories. You would probably laugh, because a lot of them have to do with vision and silliness.
Well, I think you should tell us at least one of those stories.
Oh, my God. Well, my brother works at the Holiday Inn by the airport at the bar, restaurant. So if I was going to meet somebody, I always meet them either there or by the water, you know, someplace open. So I met him at the bar. And we were there for quite a while. He didn't know that the bartender was my brother, but I made the mistake of sitting when I told him, the guy, I says, I'm not much of a drinker. And then we walked into the bar and I said to the bartender, I'll take my usual. He kind of looked at me and says, I thought you didn't drink much. So anyways, make a long date short, is he says, will you excuse me? I got to go use the men's room. I'm like, okay. So, go ahead. So, I said to my brother, watch my stuff. I'm going to run, too. So, I did. I knew where the bathroom was there. I've been there a couple of times. Well, I was trying to hurry to beat him back. So, I go into the bathroom. I see what I think are sinks. And I saw somebody standing at the sink washing their hands. So, I went into the stall, did my business, and washed my hands and went out, tried to get there before him. Well, dang, he got there before I did. And I came up behind him. I'm like, so did you think I kind of ditched you? And he goes, no. And I go, why, are you that confident? And he goes, no, I just saw you in the men's bathroom. I'm like, oh, my God.
Was he really in front of the sink?
Nope.
I love that story. Is there anything else that you would like to add? Because the folks in the room are going to get a chance to ask you questions. So, anything you want to add first?
Not unless there's something you can think of that you know that I forgot, but bring it on.
Well, I just want to say that I enjoyed meeting you in Springfield, as some of the others in, well, others in the room that were there. It gives a whole new kind of look at the people that you're interviewing when you've actually met them. So at this point, it's question time. And just remember, if you are keyed up and somebody else is talking, unkey, because otherwise she's not going to get a chance to answer the question. And I'm sure we're going to have plenty of time. We've kind of gone through this interview quickly. And also, I'd ask that until everyone has a chance to ask a question, normally not everyone asks one, but limit yourself to one question. And then if there's a lull where people have quit, then we can go for a second question. Okay, she's yours.
How did you end up from New York to Florida?
The day my ex-husband told me he was leaving, the next day I packed a suitcase. The day after that, I came to Florida because I have my mom here in Florida and I had a brother here in Florida. And that was the only place I knew to go.
I wanted to ask you, Angie, if, and maybe this is, I should assume this, can you speak Italian?
I do. I was born there and spoke it all my life to my grandparents, my parents, my aunts, my uncles. I still talk to my aunts and uncles in Italy through FaceTime, and we speak Italian.
Hello, Angie. It's Coconut. If there is one thing that you can bake really, really good or can, what would it be?
I don't know. A lot of people rave that I've had my spaghetti sauce and my pasta. And dessert-wise, people have raved about my carrot cake or my peanut butter pie. I make some Christmas cookies. So, haven't had a cafeteria. I think I'm a pretty good cook all the way around, for the most part. I'm not real big into different ethnic foods and different spices like that, though.
If I heard you right, Angie, you had the cafeteria 3 or 4 years, and then you had your sons. But were you a stay-at-home mom after that until your husband made the poor judgment to leave you, or did you have another career?
I worked on and off. We kind of took turns because he didn't work long periods from one place. So, yes, I was a reception at the Blind Association. I answered all the phone calls. I logged in and logged out everybody that came and went. I worked for other vendors in dry stands and cafeterias. I worked for my brother at a vape shop. I think that's it, besides teaching.
And all that was in Buffalo, in or near Buffalo, New York?
Yes, sir. What I took a lot of my time as well is I was very active with the NFB of New York in Buffalo.
Angie, my grandchildren are a big part of my life. Tell us, do you have any, and what kind of relationship, and what do you think of them?
All right. I have one granddaughter through my youngest son who's not married. My oldest son is married, no kids. But she is my heart. I pretty much raised her for the most part from the time she was born to the time I left. She's my heart. Yeah, we FaceTime. Well, she plays. She'll color. We'll do crafts, and she'll sing me songs and play with filters on the, you know. So yeah, I get to talk to her almost any time I want when she's at her mom's.
Angie, this is Tammy Lynn, and I want to say that I thought your interview was awesome, and I'm really blessed to know you. And I understand how hard being far away from your grandchildren can be. My daughter was in the Navy for 10 years, and she was in Sicily for 3 of those years. So, yeah, I'm kind of wondering if you've been to Sicily and what you thought of Sicily, what it was like for you there. Because I've only heard, you know, a few things from her. I never went to visit her there because of COVID.
Well, Tammy Lynn, thank you so much, and back at you. Nope, I can't say I've ever been to Sicily, but I've been to Tuscany and Rome, Florence, Venice, Pisa, Naples, Calabria, then my hometown. So I did a lot of traveling, but I never did the Amalfi Coast. I did a lot of time in Tuscany. I've even done the gondola rides.
Is your peanut butter pie in the VIP cookbook?
I think you have to ask Terry. I know it's in one of them. I'm not sure if it's here or across the river.
Well, do you have a gentleman friend currently?
I think it is in our cookbook, if my memory is correct. And Angie, I have instructions from my daughter Wendy to tell you hi, so hi.
Do I currently have a gentleman friend? I can say. I can only wish. No, I do not. And Parker, thank you. And back at her. Give her hugs. And is that it?
Andy, it's been a good interview. I'm glad you came on the VIP as a member. And enjoyed meeting you in, where was that place? Missouri, that's right. Okay. And I heard Andy's talking to her, I think it was her mom in Italian, at the airport in Atlanta when we first met her. Boy, can she ramble it out there, too. But welcome aboard, and thanks again for your interview, Andy.
Terry, you're more than welcome. New Yorkers stick together, right?
Absolutely.
Where would you rather be, New York or Florida?
That's kind of a tough question. Because being an albino, I can't enjoy the sun in Florida the way it's meant to be enjoyed. And I hate the cold. The cold just makes me hurt. But that's where my granddaughter is and my kids. So, kind of, but my mother's here. So, it's kind of like, it's almost like a, I don't want to say double-edged sword, but they both have their pros and both have their cons.
I guess, have the kids been able to come down to Florida to see you, like, maybe in January or February?
No, they're both in their early 30s. They're both in the middle of their career. And I can't take that kind of time off. And if they do, like my older son who's got the time coming, he'd rather go take a cruise with his wife than come see his mama. Can you blame him?
When you crochet, do you use patterns or do you make up your own?
Mostly make up my own. But if I see something I like, I try to follow a pattern. Doesn't always work, so usually it'll be a combination. If I'm selling them, I have to make sure that they pass my inspection, and I'm very critical of my own work. I'll pull out hours of work to fix a mistake.
Oh, yeah, I've done that before, too.
I guess that's one thing I can say is, to me, my reputation, my pride is very important to me.
For those who may not have been around them or were not in Springfield, when we sat out on the patio, here is Angie crocheting on one side, and on the other side, here's Mar knitting.
Angie, what's the favorite dish that your mother makes that you remember as a childhood and you still like today? What's the favorite dish that she cooks?
It used to be her lasagna and her pizza. Oh, an eggplant. You touched on food growing up. We used to eat poor man food. We used to pull over to the side of the road and pick dandelions or broccoli or
whatever has left the channel
to be in season. And today you go to the store and it's a fortune. It's like, amazes me, you know, the difference in time makes.
Angie, I enjoyed your interview. This is Linda in Mississippi. I crochet too, and I have really passed a lot of time doing it.
It's good physical therapy for my hands.
Angie, this is Coconut again. Kind of a two-sided question. When you go to the beach to sit and crochet and listen to a book or sit by the ocean, what ocean do you sit, or what lake, or what beach do you sit at? And do you wear your sunscreen like a good albino?
No, I hate sunscreen. It's like, yuck, grease. No, yuck. No, I sit under a tree. They have a swing, and it's under the tree in the shade. It's near O'Leary's, and it's the marina, and it's just my favorite place in all of the city so far. And no, I'm not a beach goer per se. Like, unless I go for a sunset, I love to go and walk and watch a sunset. But to go between the hours of 11 and 5, no thank you.
Do any of you have more questions?
No, but Lindsay, if you come here, girl, bring some warm clothes. It's freezing.
I just want to say thank you so much, Susie, for the interview. And Angie, great interview. And I'm going to make a trip to see you this year. Well, next year. But I will be down there to meet you, girl.
Thank you. And if there's no other questions, Susie, it's up to you. I'm willing to answer anything from anybody, but you're the hostess with the mostest.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you doing this. This will be the last interview for 2023, but I'm going to take a break, so it's going to be a little while. I was just not going to do it anymore, but Parker encouraged me just to take a break, and then we would start back in a few months. Saying that, I want to thank you all for being so patient with me and doing the interviews. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and New Year's holidays, not only enjoyable, but healthy and safe. So for that, thanks again for letting us get to know you. Good night.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.